Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we can kind of surmise from the words that we just heard from the Apostle Paul to those believers in the city of Thessalonica, it seems that many of the believers in that Christian church were having difficulty dealing with death. Now, it could be because they were relatively new Christians and they didn't understand yet everything that God's word had said about that. We know that the Apostle Paul had spent some time with them there and that he had at least taught them the basics of the Christian faith, the basic teachings of God's word and of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. We know that they believed what Paul told them, that they believed that Jesus was their Savior. But that time of training from the Apostle Paul with them was cut short because of the unbelieving Jews who were so angry at Paul that he would, in their minds, speak blasphemy, saying that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah. And so they drove Paul out of that city, and he had to go somewhere else to continue preaching. And so we can kind of understand the situation of those new Christians, because when people are under stress, as the Christians in Thessalonica were, what they know in their heads doesn't always necessarily carry over to their hearts, to how they feel, and to what they do in their lives. And so I think we can all sympathize with the situation of those believers in Thessalonica. We ourselves often struggle with death, don't we? It's difficult for us to think about one of our family members dying and about them not being there in our lives anymore. And perhaps it's even more difficult for us to think about ourselves dying, about having to face death ourselves with all of its unknown. Will I suffer? What will it be like? The Apostle Paul doesn't tell us exactly what the Thessalonians were thinking, but he does tell us what he was thinking. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you do not grieve in the same way as the others who have no hope." Now, Paul knew enough about people, and he knew enough about death to know that death always always causes grief. But he also knew that there was a way to take away the hurt, a way to deal with that grief. He knew that Christians can contemplate death and dying and still be content and confident, even courageous, in the face of death, of their own death or the death of a loved one. And so Paul knew that what he needed to do for these new believers in Thessalonica was to clear up their confusion about death. So that's what he did for them, and by God's grace, through his word that we have here, that's also what God does for us through these words. Now, one of the most important truths about the Christian faith is that Jesus is coming again. But it seems that the Thessalonians put a strange twist on this teaching, or at least they didn't quite understand it totally correctly. Because they knew that Jesus promised that he would be coming soon, just as he had told them, to be prepared always for his second coming, because you don't know the day or the hour, and it could come as a thief in the night unexpectedly, and it could come at any time. Well, it seems that some of the church members thought that since Jesus will come again so soon, well, they figured they didn't really need to work anymore. They just needed to focus all their time and attention on preparing themselves for Jesus' imminent return, his second coming. Why go to work if Jesus is coming back so soon? Well, of course, we know from the benefit of hindsight, being 2,000 years later, that Jesus didn't come right away during the lifetimes of those new believers. And so, as the time dragged on, the people, it seems, started worrying and wondering, and especially they were worrying about what if somebody in our church dies before Jesus comes back. They're going to miss out. They won't be here to receive the blessing of eternal life when Jesus returns. And so it seems from the words that Paul writes that some members of their church did die. And the rest of the church members, it seems, were filled with sorrow, thinking that because those people have died before Jesus returned, there would be nothing for them then on the last day, Jesus' second coming. They would miss out on all of the glory and majesty and the wonder that Jesus promised would come together with him in his return. Now today there are many people who think something similar, perhaps. They think that when you die, you're dead. That's the end of it. Your body is buried or is burned up and decays. And then you're simply gone forever. Your life is over. Whether you're a believer or not, you go back throughout all of human history and study all of human philosophy, and you see that that is a perennial question that people have. A person dies, will he live again? What happens after death? What is the meaning of life? And as you study and compare the religions of the world, you see that most religions have some kind of concept of a life after death. But not everybody buys into it. A lot of people don't believe it. Even some religious people don't really believe it. Now, if you've ever thought about this, if you've ever had a question in the back of your head about this, listen to what the Apostle Paul writes here. He says, "Indeed, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then in the same way we also believe that God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus." Think about the whole Bible. Think about the Old Testament. It's very long compared to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of history about the people of Israel. But really, if you think about the ultimate central message of the Bible, in the end, it's ultimately all about how God brings dead people back to life. Think about the original creation of God, that God created people to live with him in perfect harmony forever. The people sinned, and sin ended that perfectly harmonious life with God. In fact, sin, as God tells us, led to the end of life itself. No life with God, no perfect harmony with God, and no life forever. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, "Just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, so also death spread to all people because all sinned. But God sent his own Son to get rid of sin. Jesus took all sins, all of your sins and my sins and everyone else's sins in the world on himself, and he carried them to the cross. Those sins of ours caused the end of Jesus' life. He died. And when Jesus died bearing our sins, God then said to us, 'I see no sin in you.' Without sin, there is no death for you. Without death, there is only life for you. Life with me, life forever." God raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus says to us, "Because I live, you will live also." And so Paul says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And that is why we believe that the dead in Christ will rise. The dead in Christ will rise justified, declared righteous and holy by God. And so that's why the Apostle Paul uses in these verses the term sleep as reference to death. Now we know that when a person dies, they're not just sleeping, right? The, the heart stops beating, the lungs stop breathing, the brain stops functioning, they are cold and dead. But according to God's word, physical death is just temporary. It's just like a sleep from which you will wake up, because God has promised to raise our bodies back to life on the last day. Jesus said about himself, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never perish." And so, when believers close their eyes in death, they know with firm confidence, because of Jesus' promise, that their bodies will rise again when Jesus returns. And so we come back to that question that the believers in Thessalonica were thinking about. Is death a disadvantage for believers? Do people lose something valuable when they die? Listen to what Paul says. "We tell you this by the word of the Lord. We who are alive and left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not go on ahead of those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." And so Paul is telling those Christians in Thessalonica that if they were worried that their friends or relatives who had died already before Jesus' second coming were going to miss out on the magnificence of that day and all of the things we hear about here that will happen at Jesus' second coming, Paul puts their worries to rest in these words. He assures them that those who have already died before the last day are not going to miss out on anything. And he says, actually, the entire second coming of Christ is going to begin first with those who have already died. They will be raised first. The Lord's command will go out to every cemetery, every mausoleum throughout this whole earth and cry, "Wake up, arise, come forth." The voice of the archangel will order his angel armies to gather all the believers from the whole world. And then the trumpet call of God will sound. Does that bring to mind some other words from the Bible? The great resurrection chapter of the Bible that we read on Easter and also at the time of the death of a loved one at their funeral or committal? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Think about it. We will be changed. Whether we are still alive when Jesus returns or whether we have already died before that day, our bodies will be changed. Whether at the time of Jesus' return our body is still as strong as an ox, or whether it has been for many years lying and decaying in a grave or already burned up into ash, to God, the all-powerful, all-knowing God, it's all the same to him. Jesus promises that he will transform our humble bodies to be like his glorious. The dead in Christ will rise, and their bodies will be glorified together with all those who are still alive on the last day. So through these words of the Apostle Paul, those new believers in Thessalonica had what they needed to clear up the confusion they had about death and dying and the events of the last day. They had the comfort that they needed to dry their tears. But Paul wanted to finish the story, so he goes on. "Then, we who are alive who are left will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. First, the dead in Christ will rise, and then the wonderful Christian family reunion will begin. They'll all be there. All of our brothers and sisters in faith in Jesus, all of our friends and family members who believe in Jesus, will all be there. All of the heroes of faith that we read about in God's Word, Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John, and all the rest, they will all be there. Best of all, Jesus, our Savior, will be there. He will be with us forever. And that, really, is the best of the story. We all think about people that we know, people that we love, who have died. We think about ourselves, too. We think about the death that we will inevitably have to face unless Jesus comes back first. Sometimes we wonder about all of them and about that, and sometimes we weep. But as the Apostle Paul says, we do not grieve like those who have no hope, because we know the truth about death. We know that the dead in Christ will rise, justified, glorified, perfected, live forever with God in perfect peace and joy. That is what God assures us on this saints' triumphant day. As the Apostle Paul closes the words of this reading, so we close our meditation this morning on God's Word. Therefore, encourage